I'm joined by James Denslow, Defence and Middle East Analyst from King's College London. James, we've had this defection of one, possibly two pilots to Jordan today. What do you make of it?
I think defections are a vitally important sort of metric in analysing whether or not the Assad regime will fall anytime soon. In Libya and Egypt, we both saw Tunisia, the military abandoning the regimes as a key factor in toppling the respective leaders there. In Syria, we haven't seen any large-scale defections as of yet. We have seen defections, and this could be a kind of a momentum building here. The fact that an Air Force senior officer, the Air Force are largely made up of Alawites as well, so there's a sort of sectarian element here, and it's a very high-profile act, I think, having a fighter plane leave the country, and the fact that they were reporting it on their own domestic networks as a sort of training exercise with technical problems, and now we discover that the Jordanians have said he's looking for political amnesty. So I think, like, if there is a momentum to be found within the defections, this could be another one of the pivots. And we saw, I think, about 10 days ago now, the defection of an air defense battery. An entire division moving themselves, and that, I think that kind of news story is really we need to pick up on when we look at what's happening next.
And it's reported that the Air Force are a largely Alawite bunch. Is that right?
Yes, I think that's what I'm aware of as well. I mean, it's very difficult to sort of to look at this from outside and know exactly what the sectarian breakdown is in these individuals themselves. But certainly the history of Praetorian Republican Guard regimes is that they will keep sects and tribes that are closer to their ruling family in positions of lots of larger power in the military. And clearly that this is a senior ranking pilot buying a quite expensive bit of kit. So the Syrians, I think, will be very embarrassed by this. Whether or not it will lead to large-scale defections elsewhere, we'll wait and see.
Do you think he'll be safe in Jordan?
I think he will be safe. I don't think the Jordanians who kind of walk a narrow and tighter line, realizing that chaos on their border is not something they're looking to really promote. Yet at the same time, they've got increasing refugee numbers there. They've hosted lots of other Syrians, and I think the high-profile nature of this case means that he's likely to be debriefed by some Jordanian allies, including the Americans, who are also reportedly getting more involved in the flow of weapons to the Syrian rebels. The New York Times reporting that CIA figures in Turkey are kind of making sure the weapons go to the right militants rather than the more al-Qaeda-esque ones. So I think it's likely that he will be looked after by Jordanian Western allies from now.
Will incidents like this make the Assad regime hesitant about using the Air Force to crack down on the opposition in future?
I don't think so. I think only in if you look at the track record of kind of the concern the regime had with using conscripts in urban areas and the willingness to defect within Homs and therefore backing off using artillery more, and now we've sort of seen a gradual increase in the use of helicopter gunships and refitted transport helicopters. There'll obviously be a lot more concern, and perhaps there could be sort of almost a night of the long knives within the sort of senior ranks of the Air Force to weed out potential defectors. But at the same time, the use of these forces, whether it's artillery or air power, is an act of desperation. It's an act of greater weakness rather than an act of strength, because it shows you how the government is losing control of the country and being forced to use increasingly sort of standoff weapons as a means of dealing with the opposition and rebel elements there.
Explain that a bit more. Why?
Well, what, sorry?
Why that's an act, that's an act of defensive? Why would using air power signal that?
Well, I mean, what my analysis is such. In the 1980s, the regime was willing to destroy an entire city to put down the rebellions in Hama and Homs. This time around, since the beginning of the revolts in March of last year, we've seen a steady escalation in the use of arms, starting off with sort of firing into protest crowds, escalating into the use of snipers, then up to the actual use of kind of more conventional military tactics, armored vehicles, rocket-propelled grenades, and artillery. And now we've seen the next sort of step, the next evolution of using helicopter gunships, and we're talking now about the use of fast jets. So I think from the actual sort of track record we've seen since the conflict began, you've seen an escalation of weapons slowly, an escalation of arms slowly, rather than the government deciding to deploy all its assets immediately. And I think that also reflects the fact that areas of Syria are now increasingly becoming defined as in kind of have lost government control for a longer period, or are so contested that the regime is willing to deploy these weapons against them. So I would say that there is a sort of almost a Clausewitzian tactic here, that they're using force as politics by other means, and they've not deployed everything they've got. There's very worrying concerns and rumours about the use of chemical weapons and whether the regime would use chemical weapons against the rebels, and that remains to be, I think, a serious concern.
Have you seen any other indications that they are actually using fast jets against rebel positions? I was under the impression that this pilot and perhaps his co-pilot just got in the jet to get out.
Yes, in this case, certainly. I mean, that's why they reported it as a training mission. But I think there have been stories, the opposition have reported airstrikes. So I think they've been a large factor in the sense of the day-to-day use of artillery and what have you. But I think that there's certainly evidence to suggest that there have been airstrikes, and that could be something that's increasingly used.
And is this a propaganda coup for the opposition?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think it will remain to see what the individual story of these pilots are. But certainly, I think that there's a very kind of iconic moment that happened during the Libya rebellion when the Libyan opposition had a plane defect, and then it was ultimately shot down by accident by the opposition themselves. But I think it's a very symbolic moment. I think though, on a practical level, that the defections would have to include larger divisions, larger numbers of soldiers perhaps defecting en masse with their weapons, rather than the sort of drip that we've seen largely to date. So I don't think we can't over-exaggerate the importance of this, but it could be certainly a sort of a footnote in the developments as they go forward.
Okay, James, thanks very much.
Thank you.